So this meeting then, of the, this would be the March 12th, KPFT LSB regular meeting, is called to order at 7:05 PM Central Time. This is Ron Stuber's chair and listener representative. And, could we get the roll call and see who's here? First, I would note that I have received absence requests from four people. That would be Lillian Kerr, Michael Woodson, who has a show conflict right now, Colby Wright, and Susan Young.
This is Rhonda. I don't know if you got one from Adriana Castaneda, but she sent me a text and asked for an excused absence.
I did not.
I will look for that. I'll put her down. And I also received a phone call from Jerry Fowler saying that he would not be on the call today.
Okay. All right. And we've picked up a couple people. Why don't you go ahead and call?
Okay, let's do roll call. All right. Melissa Bowie.
Present.
Okay, great. Loud and clear. Lillian Kerr is excused. Adriana Casanave excused. Rajat Chopra.
Yeah, I'm here.
Bravo. Glenn Etienne.
Present.
Thank you, Glenn. Lyndon Foley.
Here.
Bravo. Jerry Fowler excused. Rhonda Gardner.
Present.
Thank you, Rhonda. Robert Gartner? I'm not hearing Robert. Rob Lee?
Present.
Thank you very much. Mike Lewis?
Mike Lewis is here.
Thank you, Mike. Good to hear your voice. Anita Long? Anita? Not hearing Anita. PK McCary?
Here.
Thank you, PK. Marianne Martinez?
Present.
Thank you, Marianne. Sean Kelly McPherson?
I am.
Thank you. Tori Mercer? I'm not hearing Tori. Stuart Nance?
Stuart Nance is here.
And I see you too. Rick Norris?
I am here.
Good to see you, Rick.
Thank you.
Okay, Jane Scheidler?
Here.
Bravo, right there in the middle. It's like a bingo. Debbie Smith?
Here.
Ron Stubbers?
I'm here.
Michael Woodson, excuse. Colby Wright and Susan Young, excuse. Sandy Wyman?
Present.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going back. Robert Gartner? Not hearing you. Anita Long? Not hearing you. And Tori Mercer.
Hello.
Oh, that's Tori?
Yep.
Thank you, Tori. Okay, we have quorums to check.
Great.
Can I ask that we excuse Lillian Kerr, Adriana Casanet, Jerry Fowler, Michael Woodson, Colby Wright, and Susan Young? Perhaps there's no objection, Mr. Chair?
Also move. If there are no objections, so excused.
All right.
The next item on our agenda is approving the agenda. So I'll note that, again, we put an item at the top of the agenda that says that the fixed the public comment is at a fixed time. That's 8 o'clock. Agenda items in order may be pulled before or after the public comment period. We've pulled a couple forward because I think we'll be able to take care of some things fairly quickly. But the public comment period is 30 minutes. We have number one. Sorry.
Mr. Chair, did we change? I looked at the agendas that were sent to me, but I did not look on the website. It should say that item number 14 on the agenda will be confirm our next meeting, which will be April 9th.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Okay. So the first item is the call to order, which occurred at 7:05. The second item is roll call. Quorum was achieved. Third item is agenda approval, which we're working on right now. Fourth item is approval of the minutes from the February 12th, 2025 meeting, which were sent out to the LSB on the 10th, I believe. Ratifying election of Colby Wright as the LSB vice chair, and ratify national board representatives from the KPFT election that occurred for the Pacifica National Board Audit Committee, that being Rob Lee and Jerry Fowler winning that one, the PNB Governance Committee, which would be Ron Stubers and Tori Mercer from KPFT. KPFT's Committee of Inclusion, the director member, Marianne Martinez, and the non-director members, Lillian Kerr, Adriana Casaneve, and PK McCary. Item 7, we will have staff recognition. Item 8, the interim general manager's report, which you should have received by email as well. And number 9, the PNB representatives report. We won't be able to do much Q&A on that. And I believe that a short summary was sent out to the board. Item 10 is the 8 o'clock public comment. Item 11, KPFT LSB committee and task force reports, development and outreach, finance, governance, management selection and review, and the major donor task force. Item 12 would be unfinished business. Item 13 would be new business. Item 14 would be then to confirm the next LSB meeting, which is currently scheduled for April 9th at 7 p.m. And item 15 then would be to adjourn. You'll note that there are times next to each of these items that we hope to, we hope to get back on. Do I have any objection to approval of the agenda? All right. Hearing no objection, the agenda is approved. We'll then go on to the minutes of the February 12th meeting. They were sent out. Did anybody have any objection to approval of those minutes? Nope. All right. Then hearing no objections, we will approve the minutes of the February 12th meeting. The next item then is to ratify election of Colby Wright to the LSB vice chair. I believe that report went out to everyone. Did everybody get the teller's report or?
Yes.
Okay, good. So that would have included Colby as vice chair. Are there any objections to ratification of Colby as the vice chair? Remember, if you speak up, you get the job. So that's right. All right. Sorry, not a very good joke. not hearing any objections. We'll ratify his position as vice chair. Item 6 on the agenda is a collection of PNB representatives and the Committee of Inclusion representatives. I read through when looking at the agenda, all of the items people want to hear. We can do them individually or we can do them as a group. my preference would be to do them as a group. Do we hear, are there any objections or comments?
As a group.
Made? Yeah, okay. Any objections or comments to be made about ratification of that list of people to the audit, the governance, and the committee of inclusion? No? All right. Hearing no objections, we'll, those folks are now on those committees. So keep an eye out for when your committee meets, and we'll have to make sure that we get that information out to folks. You can check it on KPFTX, but you should also find out otherwise. The next item on the agenda then is staff recognition. Does anybody have an item that they would like to bring up for staff recognition? And since I'm already talking, I'd kind of like to toss out, I listened to a fair amount of radio over the last couple of weeks and heard, and Sandy, I know you're not like management as opposed to staff, but heard you pitching on there, and I really appreciate how that went. I heard the going to 150,000 that was, you know, we just need that one person to get us over the line. And then a whole series of vehicles that the difference was compared to, which got cheaper and cheaper as they went along. So, I thought that was really amazing. And I appreciate that you were in there, like in all those shows, working with the folks, because I know that, you know, being a programmer and being a public speaker or a pitch person is not, are not really the same thing. So appreciate you doing that.
Okay. Got to thank Marlo. Got to thank Elise, Howard, Robin, all of them. They were all involved in a very good, we'll go into it later. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you've got a section there, and that's absolutely correct. Rob.
Oh, I was just going to say one, I'm about to forward the NDA to you. But back to staff, I agree with what Sandy had said. Really, everybody pitched well. I listened a pretty good amount, and everybody did well. I know this isn't a time to criticize, so I will probably follow up with Sandy and say I did sit through one show that the group did not say one dang thing. But other than that, you know, every DJ or a group of DJs did a really fantastic job pitching. That's it.
Great. Anybody else have something that they would like to pitch? Debbie?
Yeah, this isn't staff, but I want to commend all of the LSB members that threw in some dollars for the sustainers. And Matt, you know, threw in our dollar for each sustainer. I don't remember what the number was, but I think there was 10 of us that did it. So I want to commend you. I think that when the listeners hear that, I think that's, you know, that's a good point. Hopefully it helped.
Good. Anybody else? And I did hear that, didn't hear it earlier on, but then I heard it quite a lot, and it was interesting to hear it go up from 8 to 9 to 10. So
yeah.
Thank you for those folks. Okay. Thank you for that then. If you have more, we can circle back. Otherwise, we have the, interim general manager's report, item 8. Sandy, you have the floor.
Thank you, Ron. Thanks everybody for what you do and for being here, and also for the matching funds, as we stated. Important stuff. So March 1st, we turned 55 years old, which is a remarkable feat of anything here in Houston being listener supported for that length of time and keeping this station on the air. And we did that fund drive by fund drive, and we just completed one in on the 9th on the air. Actually, it concludes officially on Saturday, the 15th. So a big thanks to everybody that participated on whatever level you did, contributing money, urging others, whatever it was. Thank you for your participation in that. Even if we can't give dollars, we can do other things to help everybody be successful. I want to thank Di Conkling for setting up the food drive with the Mana Food Pantry, and to Helen, who we call Rocket, one of our interns, and Marlo and others for shepherding that drive. We still have collection boxes out that have to be picked up. I think tomorrow we're going to make an effort. I'll make an effort to get all that together and get all that the foodstuffs down to Mana Food Pantry. Last time I looked online, about 150 cash dollars were also donated. Doesn't sound like a lot, but when these folks go shopping, it feeds a lot of people. So whatever little bit we can contribute back to the community, I think is a really important thing since we're reliant on that community for funding. So again, Di Conkling, thank you. Our June 6th celebration at the Heights Theater, which represents the 55th birthday party, if you will, with Rodney Crowell and Guy Forsyth, really powered our fund drive. It's nearly sold out. All the VIP tables were sold. The two big booths in the back of the theater were sold. Many of the the reserved gallery seats upstairs have been taken. In fact, last I heard, we were sold out of those. And we probably have somewhere between 100 and 200 general admission seats available. And while that sounds like a lot, that theater holds 500 people, and the target for ticket sales was 300. So I think in one drive, and we left space for the ensuing drive to fill in any gaps, I think the one drive satisfied everything or nearly everything. And as we approach June 6th with the two names of Rodney Crowell and Guy Forsyth, I'm pretty confident that that theater will be fully sold out. And so that everybody is aware, the Heights Theater donated the space. We're paying for the sound and light techs. We're paying a small honorarium to each performer. Our total budget will be less than $5,000 for the entire event. And the top line on this should be somewhere between $35,000 and $40,000. So a big winner for KPFT and a great way to celebrate 55. I hope some of you have tickets and we'll see you out there. Memory bricks. We installed 30 some odd more memory bricks in the front yard. A few more were picked up by listeners this drive. And that patch of dirt out front is starting to become visible from the glide path for Hobby Airport from those passing 737. So thanks to everybody that has gotten those bricks. And each one of those represents a sustainer, or at least a major donor in a sense. And that's helping us power this station as well. Little bits here, little bits there. Speaking of which, thanks to Augie, Teresa, Matt, Rob Lee, and Mary for coming in twice this month for 4 hours each time and calling lapsed donors. We picked up several members just yesterday and over $1,000 from those calls. And the first time we exceeded $1,000 as well. So let's do some math for a minute. If we can keep repeating this to where we can pick up a couple $1,000 a month and more members, we're filling in 1.5 month's needs in total, leaving us only 11 and a half to raise. That's big. That's an income stream that we couldn't claim before. So I'm looking forward to more people joining in and getting scheduled to call lapsed donors and making this a regular thing and becoming part of this income stream. Little bits and pieces are powering the station. That's another one. Thanks to Colby Wright, to Robin and Elise for restructuring our website. I don't know if you've looked at the website recently. It's much cleaner, easier to navigate, and those folks are behind all of that. So thanks, especially Colby, who kind of does that for a living. And we have, let's see if I can understand technology for a minute. We have, coming soon, a KPFT app. So this will be on the phone. You can pick up HD 1, 2, and 3 and play it. Come on. Hope I paid my phone bill.
We need to mute somebody. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, I think this is
on the second Robert? The second page are easy links to donate, archive, etc. So this should be in an app store, I'm hoping, by May 1st. We're working with app developers. Anybody ever work with an app developer? They never finish. Okay, so they're every time I go, let's go, let's move it. Well, no, we got a couple more things here. So by May 1st, there should be in an app store where you can download that. I've been using this, and let me tell you, it's a lot easier than navigating the website. I think this is going to help us pick up more interest. Thanks to Howard and Jack and Cactus Music, we did a remote the second Saturday of the drive, and that went really well. Thanks to the hard work of and Marlo as well for getting out there, getting everything wired up, and making it all work. That was a truly remarkable experience sitting there in the Cactus record store. But most importantly, that's the most money on a single shift that I've seen come into my show, or really any show, in a while. So the public out there during Fun Drive turned out to be lucky charms for everybody. We're getting fiber service at the transmitter. For those of you complaining about internet reliability, we are. And hopefully this will help a little bit more. It's an incremental improvement. We have fiber service in the building. I have fiber service here. It doesn't mean it's 100% reliable by any stretch, but it's a lot more reliable than the wireless we're using now. So I look forward to even more reliability there. The STL, a direct link, is the way to go, but as we discussed, that's lots of money. New programs, we have a Spanish-English immigration program being developed, a near-death experience Art Bell-type programming being developed. Joe Jaworski, third generation Fulbright and Jaworski, who was former mayor of Galveston, is going to be doing a 30-minute show called Midterms on local politics. We're working on EV, or electric vehicle show, and a movie review show as well. Some of these shows you'll see appear hopefully by early April. So stay tuned, more coming, okay? We're getting pounded with requests, by the way. Lots of people stepping up. I received an email just the other day from somebody moving here that's got lots of experience, and Marlo's working with that person as well. So lots of people stepping up. Must be springtime. Art Car Parade, April 12th. I don't know who's involved here, but it's a fun event. Boyd Bluestein again donated his vehicle, his trailer, and there'll be a musical act on the trailer. I don't think it's the same one we've had the last year or two, but there will be music and KPFT rolling through the streets on April 12th. Let's hope for good weather. Did everybody notice the typo of error by omission in my report? Under membership? Okay. Membership stands at 2,714 households. That number again will be modified since we just are finishing a fun drive. We'll see that change next month, hopefully upward. Listenership, pretty steady. The QM was up to 93,200. Mark and share was stable at 0.4. I'm really looking for the numbers past this. The cutoff on this was February 4th. And it was right about there when we switched the schedule and started seeing better numbers. So hopefully we see a little better market share next time. We'll see what exactly we get. Fun Drive, by the way, does not help listenership. 10 to 20% of our listeners go elsewhere when we are in Fun Drive, pretty much every single time. Speaking of that Fun Drive, we are currently at $178,790. The drive closes Sunday, or Saturday rather. For those of you on the board that did contribute to the matching fund, if Robin hasn't reached out to you, then go online and just put your donation in. We had around 140 sustainers. I don't know the exact number just yet, but Robin didn't break that out. But it's somewhere right around there based on the last number I received. which was like 24 hours before we ended the drive. Available cash in the bank as of Monday, $234,611. That's a high watermark for us. We took a lot of cash in on this drive because of the Rodney Crowell concert. $600 VIP tables times 20 tables, two big booze, etc. Although one of the booze went as a sustainer. This includes restricted cash or grant money of $20,944. Credit cards still paid off. In fact, all our bills are current. I got a call today from a bill collector, and it turned out to be a scam saying the KPFT owed money. Be wary. There is another scam going around where our supposedly our answering service is texting people, asking them to call back and donate. And the call letters that they have in the text are incorrect. If you get a text like that, please ignore it. Delete it. Currently, our sustaining income from 1,280 sustainers is $24,191 per month, or roughly 48% of our monthly needs. And with that, I'll take questions. Thank you.
You mean other than the drastic drop in listeners that we had? Yeah, I did notice it, but I figured it was more than two. So,
well, yeah, right. That's members, not listeners.
Oh, members.
I wish all the listeners were members. We'd have a huge membership.
There you go. Yeah.
Teresa, you got to unmute.
Oh, Teresa. Yeah. Sorry. You got,
I'm sorry. I'm not a voting member, but I do want to ask. We did a live remote during the pledge drive from Cactus.
Correct.
So how was the, I guess, listenership during that? And did Cactus really enjoy the experience? Can we do that again?
Absolutely. In fact, Cactus donated some cash money at the end of it. So they gave us actually, they gave us a check. So they donated $300, which is really nice. And right. They immediately said, when can we do this again? No, it's good publicity for them, and we have to balance that too. So we can't keep going back to the same places over and over. We have to kind of spread that around, and we've been pretty good at doing that. So, but we will go back there, sure. Yes.
All right. Thanks, Teresa. Lyndon?
Thank you. Well, I suggested we go to Vinyl Edge on 19th Street, right down from the Heights Theater. And I think that'd be a great place to do one. Sandy, can you give us any report on the initiative you took to get advertisement in the Chronicle online?
Indeed, we had a meeting with them yesterday. Right, we have one more month in that program, by the way, and then we'll make a determination as to what we want to do. They moved us onto their social media platforms, and as a result, website clicks picked up this month. They had something like 1,900 views on that and a whole bunch of clicks on our website. I have an email from them summarizing a report. I can send that around, I suppose, or have Robin do that. That's her program, and I just want to make sure that everything is channeled through her.
Okay. That would be appreciated.
Sure. But to answer your question directly, Lyndon, frankly, I haven't seen too much in the way of results. So I'm not sure about continuing past March. We need to sit down and talk about it and figure out what we want to do next. Right. Thank you for the question. Good question.
Thanks, Lyndon. Rob?
Sandy, I'm very excited about sustainers. And just a general question, I don't need specific numbers, but could you take me from where we were at 0% sustainers to, where we are now, if I heard you right, 48% of, our revenues are from sustainers. Would you just have any comments on how, it's increased and, where we were 3 years ago, 2 years ago, et cetera, 1 year ago?
Well, I can certainly reference when I started July 1st, 2022 as a reference point for you. And at that point, we got less than $7,000 a month, probably closer to $5,500. And so we've been able to increase that dramatically. And, you know, by proportion, if you want to look at it that way, about one-fifth the number of the people were signed up. What's interesting is almost half our membership are sustainers now. So if we can get the other half engaged in that, we'll really have something. You know, if we can match that total, we'd cut it down to two pledge drives a year at that point, based on our current budget. So I think that's where we've been. And it's kind of frustrating. We got a lot of sustainers this drive. We also lost a lot of sustainers this drive. Okay. A lot of people dropped off. We got a very large sustainer rollover in February. $41,000 was credited to this drive. People renewing or not canceling, if you will, sustaining memberships. And that means that the February before, which I think was the first $50 match from that generous anonymous donor, really spurred a lot of people to sign up. So, you know, it's the same old thing all the time. Credit cards get canceled, lost, replaced. People get tired of it. There's a myriad of reasons. But most of the time, the credit card gets changed out and they forget to renew it with us. That's what we typically find. You know, it's not for malevolent reasons. It's just reasons of credit card numbers changing, right? So that's a little bit frustrating. I would have hoped to have climbed that hill and gotten over that 50% hump. We're so dang close. In fact, I've been thinking about maybe a short drive just for sustainers, right? Or new members or whatever. Something to spur that metric on. That's the way to run the station when the money comes in and you don't have to mess with it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Teresa, you have your hand up still. Do you?
I'm sorry, that was legacy. I would like to say though, calling lapsed donors, people have been very generous. I called someone a couple weeks ago. They said, oh, I thought my wife gave, called them back, finally got them on the phone and they gave, $500. So it's kind of nice to hear. Also talked with someone who had moved to Colorado. He decided to give money and I was able to give him information about KGNU in Boulder and Denver. So just helping other community radio stations while I'm at it. So I do want the information about apps because I think we can spread a lot of word about, you know, through mentioning apps.
Good. All right. Thank you. So, there not being any other hands up, or people waving, we can move on to our next item, which would be the, National Board Representatives report. That would be Susan, but Susan is not here. I think that she emailed out. She said really the only thing that of consequence was this resolution that they had to talk to someone about New Day, to engage counsel with New Day. So you can read that. That's the official statement from there.
Could you repeat that? I didn't quite follow.
Well, you should have received from Susan,
Mr. Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
I apologize. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Hi, Marianne.
Okay. Because I'm talking on my laptop here and I'm not really too sure how the volume works on this, but, I'm not sure if I'm coming across too loud or too soft.
You're good.
But I do have a report for the PNB if you'd like.
Oh, you do? Yes. Okay. Yes, please. Before you get to that, so Susan sent out at like 5:10 this evening to the LSB a statement about that is the PNB approved report from the executive session. So her request was not to ad lib on that, but to stick with that statement.
I'll read it. Thank you.
So, yeah, go ahead and read that. Sorry, Marianne. Please go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, the statement is, and I agree, is to, verbatim, the statement from the report out from the Pacifica National Board says that it was moved that the Pacifica National Board set a date for an executive session follow-up PNB meeting on March the 13th, 2025, giving authorization to our Pacifica Executive Director, Stephanie Wells, and the Pacifica National Board Chair, Susan Young, and Pacifica National Board Vice Chair, Minerva Sanders, and the Pacifica National Board Secretary, Julie Hewitt, to investigate and engage in communications with attorneys and others as needed about the preparation for possible mediation and settlement of the case, Pacifica versus New Day, and to present their findings and recommendations to the PNB at the March 13th, 2025 meeting. And that was forwarded by Susan, who, by the way, some of you may or may not know, Susan is out of commission right now, but she's, I spoke with her earlier today. She's doing okay. And basically, I think we should send prayers and positive energy towards Susan, who is a strong backbone and a dedicated volunteer at Pacifica. So she's going through a time right now, and we need to keep her in our prayers. So let's see, the most important. So basically, yeah, that was it. The report out from the Pacifica National Board was that that statement that I just read.
All right. Thank you, Maria. Appreciate that. Let's see. So that is item 9, our PNB representative's report. As it's not time for public comment yet, we can move to item 11, which would be the LSB committee and task force reports. Does the development and outreach committee have a report?
Yes, I do. How are you? I believe I sent the meeting we had earlier this month. I believe it was on the 4th. That's how we determined voting membership moving from this point and quorum. And we had a pretty productive meeting. We have several groups of people that are working on the art car parade. Matt Veloto, for example, and others are working with the vehicle and the trailer. And I am open to any suggestions as to what we can put on a quarter flyer to pass out to the crowd, something that might start some conversations. And we are looking for people that might want to come to the parade early and pass out literature. We could also have people with clipboards taking comments and signing people up for our email address. So it could be a little bit of ascertainment. You know, one of the responsibilities that of our board is to do ascertainment, to figure out what our community needs. We could do that at the Art Car Parade, just have people walk around with clipboards, as well as passing out little quarter flyers. We will not be in the St. Patrick's Day Parade. We will be in Earth Day. If anybody would like to participate in either of any of those events, that would be great. And I'm also looking for people that might want to participate in Pride. And it would be nice if people that with queer voices or somebody would call me and talk, because I would love to talk about the Pride Parade. I think we could really have a great presence there. And Tori Mercer is working on something. Tori, did you want to say anything?
I don't have anything to report.
Okay. Well, we're working on some things. Looking forward to more dates for lapsed donors because we still have a lot of pages to work, a lot of people to call. Well, that's where we are. Thank you very much.
What was the date for the art car parade?
April 12th.
12th of April.
April 12th. I think it's always second Saturday.
Okay. Good. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, I guess Sandy. Let me say, Sandy, if we could have a mention, I can't find the report that Robin gave me, but I'm always curious as to what we've raised through vehicle donations. And I think that we ought to encourage more people to give, to think about motorcycles or things other than just cars, you know, trucks, boats on trailers, et cetera, because when that money comes in, it's a little chunk. Sometimes it's 1,000 or 2.
All right. Thank you. Debbie, you had a.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that Teresa saw that Robert Gartner was on there. And who's 1438? It kept coming up on the screen. And I saw Robert. He was on. He come on during Sandy's.
Excuse me. 1438 is Nancy Sidebottom.
Oh, okay. So that's Nancy. Okay. Just so Teresa saw those two come on.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. Let's see. So other second, we've got finance.
Yes. We had our initial finance meeting for the LSB on the 26th of February. And we went over the results of the fiscal year 2024, which ended September of 2024. And I've sent that spreadsheet out to everybody. In fact, I think it was I sent that spreadsheet out to everybody. And then we also took a look at the budget that we are operating under now. And then we did a little look forward of possible budget scenarios for the next fiscal year.
Great. All right. And
when did you send that, Lyndon?
What?
When did you send that?
I don't know. Like the 25th, 24th, sometime before the meeting.
Oh, I just found it. Okay. I think I found it. Yeah, I did.
All right.
I said to search.
Thanks, Lyndon. For finance, governance. I think Marianne, you have.
Yes, sir.
Please.
Let's see. So with the governance committee, we made quorum, and we met on February the 18th. Then let's see. We're still in the process of electing a permanent chair and a permanent secretary. So, I do need to follow up with, Terry Goodman to find out what's going on with that. Because those ballots should have been out by now, but, candidates for chair of that committee are Venetia Pichel Adams, PK McCary, and myself. And then the secretary, candidates are, Venetia Pichel, PK McCary, and Debbie Smith. So, we be on the lookout for those, ballots coming to you very soon. I'll be calling Terry tomorrow to find out what's going on with that. Susan, made a motion, that passed without objection that we meet, bi-monthly. So our next meeting will be on April the 15th, and that was about it. We adjourned at 8 o'clock, and that's the report for the governance committee.
All right. Thank you, Marianne. Appreciate that. Management selection and review. There are things going on there, but Susan is not here right now, so she can update the LSB as she has more.
She did send us something.
Yeah. I think she sent an email out, so.
Okay.
Let's see. She sent the ED report out.
Well, basically she just said that she, what she wrote was that she initiated the KPFT general manager search conversation with budget assessment and conversation with the ED about her decision to post all five station general manager positions that are currently on an interim basis. And that was it.
All right. Thank you. And then for major donor task force.
Okay. Couple of things. One, I was sick, so I apologize. I kind of got out of whack. And then two, we had the fund drive, and I am going to try to get with Sandy and visit on a couple of things. But let me go over a couple of ideas that we're doing. One, major donors. That has been delayed a little, and I'm going to get with Sandy on some ideas for that. But I don't know. I don't think we'll change the name, but I would like to, help a great deal on, I think that lapsed donors, I don't know if it falls necessarily under major donors, but I'd be more than happy to kind of take on that. And Teresa has been wonderful at bringing all sorts of people in. But what we're seeing is this could be a significant revenue source. And what I'd like to challenge the board to do is we're all pretty experienced with KPFT. We could all call. In a nutshell, what the station is trying to do is see if we could get teams twice a month. That's four people. That's the maximum that the station can handle. And I'd like to see if we could get two teams of four, every month to make these calls. It is exceedingly productive, and it's two ways that it's productive. One, we made $1,000 a couple days ago, but that's not necessarily the only thing that we do. We also are engendering ourselves, or the station, I should really say, to the listener. We get to engage with people. We'll get some people that are not able to give. We sit and we talk to them. They say, God, I'd love to give, but I can't right now. And we'll say, that's okay. We're just glad you're listening and we're paying attention to them. I don't know if they'll win the lottery next week, but the whole idea is people's economic situations ebb and flow. And I do think by what we're doing, we are one, getting people to re-engage, or maybe they've forgotten that their credit card changed. But it is a very important item, and I'd like to, however we end up organizing it, I'd really like for us to try to, and it doesn't necessarily have to be an LSV member, I'd really like to get teams that could go and participate twice a month at the station. And it's actually fun. You get to interact with people and the people at the station. So that'll be something we'll be talking about. If anybody is interested in participating in this, get with me and or Teresa, and we'll start organizing this. I think Robin's kind of in charge. So that is one thing I'd like to be able to do. And then a third item, which would fit in major donors, we're going to develop a campaign for what we'll call legacy donations. And in a nutshell, that is encouraging, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but most of our listeners are, can I say, old? And so in a nutshell, that's a great time for legacy donors. I'll explain in a second, but we've got a lot of these people that have listened for 40 years or whatever, 55, and they have a strong, very good feeling about the station. And what we want to do, here's legacy donating. We want them to name us in their wills. I'd love it if they gave us 100%, but let's say they give us 5%, 10%. I mean, you don't know, and it kind of course depends on the size of the estate. Other items that we're going to do, and I don't know if we'll be developing radio spots or getting on shows and talking about it, but more information forthcoming. So I mentioned wills. The next item is we want to be named an insurance policy. When that same person passes away, if we are named as a beneficiary in there, let's say it could be 100%, could be 5 to 10%, whatever in between. And then the third thing that would encompass that, and maybe there's more, but these are the big three that I see, would be IRA beneficiaries. Same kind of description. You know, people would name us whatever percentage that they would want, and making the assumption there's money left at death, we would be able to get that really in a tax-free manner. The IRA bequests are really powerful because it does avoid taxation. So again, lots of things. I was a little out of commission for about 3 weeks, but I'm going to get cracking on that. I have talked to Sandy. I have talked to Howard. And so I hope by the next board meeting that we'll have some things on that. And then I apologize. I do not have much on major donors. I will do that. However, I will say I think major donors are covered by some of the things we're already doing. Cadillac Bar, the cruise in Clear Lake for Nuri Nuri. Other things that we do that cost $200 or whatever it costs, Lyle Lovett, that does bring in these major donors. And what I would like to develop from there is not only should there be staff members that are following up as we identify these major donors, but I'd like to get a couple of people that would kind of be trained, be able to identify and follow up on some of these people. What are we doing once we engage these members in something to really get them to want to come back and participate with our station? And again, I go back to my years of experience with university donations. I mean, they are fantastic at it. If anybody went to a university, they'll hound you until you die. With that, I'll turn it back over. I hope it wasn't too long.
Great. Thank you, Rob, for that. And, yeah, I can attest to, the idea that just, you know, having a credit card swapped out can drop you off the list, happened to me. And I figured it out when I did my taxes, and which is a little embarrassing because it's really late, but okay. So, but it happens. We're almost at our public comment time. I would like to slide one thing in there that I did not get to earlier, and that is if you are on fiduciary committees and you want to vote there, if you're on a PNB committee, in particular the fiduciary committees, you need to have an NDA in place. So some of you have sent your NDAs in to me. Rob, I have received yours. Thank you kindly. Some have not. So if you have not, if you can't find it, whatever, just, ping me and I will get it. If you sent it in, but you sent it to somebody else, let me know and we'll track it down. I'm just trying to collect them all up, for Stephanie. So, we'll do that. So in the meantime, public comment. So we have, in our bylaws, we have in our bylaws, they call for a 30-minute interval for public comment. This gives the opportunity for the public to address the board, although not for the board to address the public. The rules for this time are, one, that board members are not allowed to comment, speak, or respond, so it's not an interactive conversation. Two is that, we won't have discussions of personnel issues, ad hominem attacks, slander, name calling, any of that sort of thing. I generally speaking, will give a warning unless, unless I just need to eject somebody. The time for each speaker is 5 minutes. And if all speakers have had an opportunity, then people who have spoken before may speak again, within the 30-minute limit. And, I believe we have members of, Tom, did you have, let's see. So you're not on the board. So I'm assuming you're looking for public comment.
Yes, sir. I am.
Your hand is up. Please go ahead.
I'm also vice chair now of the development committee, which I'm very proud to have been voted to that position. Also, I was given a task that I contact 5 people, and 5 people I contacted are friends of mine who listen to KPFT, and I have to say that our people that I contacted are very impressed by what KPFT has upgraded their music, and they're very happy to donate and listen. KPFT, but at one time we were very down on our dumps, really, to tell you the truth. We had very little listeners, but now we've come a long way, and happy birthday to KPFT. And also I'd like to point out that the new board is coming along great, and I'm proud to be able to serve the development committee. And right now, at this time, that's all I have to say. But if I get another chance, I'll chime in. Thank you, Chair, for the time.
Great. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate that. And you can recover your time if you think of something later. Let's see, Nancy, would you like to speak?
I have, Anissa Faruqi merged on my phone, and she would like to make a public comment.
Okay.
Yes. KPFT has a lot of wonderful legacy donors. Unfortunately, the grandkids and the great grandkids did not seem to follow suit. And the modern, their grandkids and great-grandkids now, a lot of them are middle-aged and with families of their own, but KPFT doesn't reflect modern society. And that's a big turnoff to the biggest demographic that we're aiming for. Unfortunately, with our president, the biggest demographic is also very, very broke.
Anissa, you finished?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't... You know, I mean, we have the finance committee and stuff, but I don't know if we have the resources to find the right DJs. And, I mean, I love the DJs we have, but they're not in tune with modern needs. We were making fun of Sammy and, you know, May the 4th be with you, because there was an event there. May is the big month for Comicpalooza. This month in March, at the end of March, the Unitarians are having Music Fest. If we can drag the big box of outreach materials out and dust them off, we can have a big audience that's stuck reading them. But yeah, for right now, that's it.
All right. Thank you for your comment. Nancy, did you have...
Yes, thank you. Yes. I wish we had some town halls to discuss the root causes of incarceration, especially the Harris County Commissioner's Court is planning to build another jail, and it will house 16,000 people, whereas the present one houses 10,000. So I suggested to the court that they need to focus on the root causes of incarceration. And you know, KPFT could provide an excellent platform to do a town hall on that and have former judges, present judges, former incarcerated and presently incarcerated anonymously sent suggestions or stories. We could have probation officers, former and present, lawyers association. We could have a wonderful platform where people, new audiences, would find out about us because of that, doing a town hall, maybe a two-hour town hall on a Saturday afternoon, maybe. The idea was the vouchers, the school vouchers. This is encroaching upon us in Texas, even though I didn't think it was going to take place, but it sure is, seems to be coming down the path. And a lot of people will be surprised because they're doing their everyday work and working for their bread and butter, and they're not, they don't have time to hear or to understand or to discuss. That would be another new audience, because a lot of parents don't know about KPFT. But if we were talking about vouchers and about problems of a Houston Independent School District, where the superintendent has spent millions of money for replacing furniture that people complain that did not need replacing, and millions on spin bicycles that cannot even be used because they were intended for elementary students, but they ordered adult size. It's just wasteful money. And the superintendent has done the same thing in Dallas before, Dallas, Texas. And that board fired him. However, in Houston's case, and it's a large independent school district, HISD, the Texas state fired the elected board members and replaced them with the Texas state decided. Or is it over 5 minutes? Sorry.
You've got about a minute and a half left.
Okay. So I mean, sure. This would bring in a lot of new people if we were to talk about these things, what to be done, because a lot of money from HISD, the superintendent sent to his private charter schools in Colorado. This is really, you know, robbery going on, and a lot of people do not know. And small children, they don't know what's happening, and how can they be expected to tell their parents when they get home what's going on? It's just the recess time being decreased, the wraparound services for homeless children were decreased. The wraparound services for the special education funding was decreased. I mean, this is happening in Houston. And, you know, we have more millionaires than any city in the United States. Our budget is, like, huge, Harris County. I mean, we really should not have these horrible things happening. And KPSC could be the platform. It would be too expensive to do it on television, but we could do it on the radio. And then people would know, oh, this station does something for the people. So the other thing I wanted to say is, Teresa, please post the archives, because I missed the last Outreach and Development Committee. I could not come, and it's not, none of the archives for this year have been posted. Please learn how to do it and get it done in the minutes, because all last year, all the minutes are not posted yet. Please get some help to do it if you don't know how. The other thing is the college, university campus.
Nancy,
I'll stop. Thank you.
Take just a pause there. Yeah. Now I've got, there are several, folks that are either called in or, that do not have their hands raised. So if you'd like to get in line, you know, raise your hand. Mama Mala.
Hi. Yeah. So I wanted to chime in, when she made a comment about, I'm sorry. Okay. I wanted to chime in about, I was just, trying to put in, I was going over TAS, in the schools, that were in district, and I didn't know that Abbott, owned a school. And he has a whole district, right? So that made me pause. So I think, maybe a show, about, you know, though that type of what's happening with the whole voucher thing. 'Cause I could have swore that we voted no for the vouchers and then it's still happening. So, yeah, if somebody can do a show, just like an update on that, that would be important. 'Cause I don't think people here know what's really going on with that. Like they're not really in tune what's happening. And then the gutting of the education system is kind of like when you're going to wake up and come August and try to take your kids somewhere and then they're going to find out that they don't have that school. That school's not available anymore. So, that's a big thing for parents, to be aware of. So that's definitely a conversation that needs to be had, but that was it.
All right. Thank you. Tom, do you want to go ahead? Tom, you're back. Tom Harper, you're back at the front of the line. If you would like to go ahead.
What's left on the Cullen Boulevard?
Ron, are you talking to me?
Yes. Yeah, okay, I think, whoever's on 3182 is, I think, has the radio close. But okay, I'm going to mute you. Hang on just a second. Let me mute you for just a second.
Okay.
Not you, the 3182. You can, if the 3182 number wants to talk, we can unmute it. So, Tom, sorry, go ahead.
I'd like to point out that, what we don't need for KPFT is negative attitude. We need to have positive attitude and we need to have people that, you know, work together as a team. We don't need, you know, any negative attitudes or, you know, KPFT is not broke. At one time we were. And like I pointed out earlier, but, we've come a long way and, 55 years now. I mean, when KPFT first came out in 1970 and, you know, I was in high school, but, I was in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So I didn't, didn't quite get to listen to KPFT, but commercial-free station, we've come a very long way. And like I said, positive attitude, positive thinking, work together. It can make a whole lot of difference. So let's try to keep our positive thinking and work with everybody and help your programmers suggestions for their shows. I mean, you know, I'm always open to suggestions for my show, and I'm sure everybody else is also. So, like I said, positive attitude, positive thinking. Call your friends, call your relatives, have them listen to some of the programs that are on there. And donations are very important. And I'm thrilled to death that we made over our goal, and we need to keep it going. So that's what we need to do. Okay, thank you.
All right, great, thanks. Bill Crozier.
Okay, thank you. I agree with what Tom was just saying. We do need to be working together and stressing all the positive things about KPFT. I think a good way of getting more listeners, which we really need to be working on, as well as donors, is to tell our friends or people we're into, ask them what they're interested in. What they wish they could hear on the radio that they're not hearing, and then help them find a show on KPFT that might be close to that. Because so many people, most people don't even know what we have on the air. We have a lot of current members that don't even know a fraction of what we have on the air. And so we can be ambassadors to KPFT. I also just want to thank all of you for being on the LSB, for hanging in there and working together. I think that Rob also had some really good ideas, especially for long-term revenue, legacy gifts, is what a lot of nonprofits get much of their revenue from. And he's also talked about required minimum distributions from people that have to get to 70 or 71 or 2, I forget what it is exactly, have to take out of their 401k and IRAs. And those are the things that might provide more current income. We have so many people that are getting older. And we do need to stress both listenership growth as well as membership and revenue growth. And besides all of you on the LSB, the ones of you who are on the PNB, I especially want to thank, because I know that's even more of a time commitment. And we really need you. So I appreciate you being there. And I know there's national issues that still need to be dealt with to help strengthen Pacifica. And appreciate you all that are working on that as well. So thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Bill. We do have Emily 89.5. I'm assuming that if you want to talk, you can. Otherwise, we'll move on. Let us know. Nancy, do you have something else?
Thank you. Sure. Yes. The date. The workers that work during the daytime or weekday workers, they don't have a chance to really do a call-in discussion show. And the call-in shows are very popular for people who can do it. Our call-in shows are in the early morning, 6 a.m. or 8 a.m., and a lot of people cannot participate. So can we consider a call-in show on the weekends? Because the weekends are just music. Saturday, there's no public affairs at all on Saturday. And Sunday, there's no public affairs until Akua Holt show, Pan-African Journal at, I think it's 9 p.m. So there's just music, music, music. But those people would like, I'm sure, to have the mic, to have mic time. And that is one of the reasons why I found out about Pacifica. I was living in Japan. I was an anti-war group, and we were inviting somebody from the Berkeley City Hall, because Berkeley had just, the city had just made a resolution that they were suing the United States for attacking Afghanistan. And we were like, wow. And so we invited the mayor, and she sent somebody, her assistant, and he came. And I said, how did you get the people of Berkeley to agree to this resolution against the United States for attacking Afghanistan? And they, this man said, well, we have a radio station. I said, and? He said, well, we call, we talk, we discuss things, especially at night at that time. Well, that was like in the early 2000s. And I said, oh, he said, and it was APFA. And I didn't know anything about Pacifica, but that's why we invited that person to come. We thought it was just outstanding that the whole community would be supporting suing the United States for attacking Afghanistan. That's just amazing. So anyway, he says, yeah, we discuss a lot of things. I said, that's fantastic. We don't have that here except early morning and politics done right at 6 a.m. The board, the telephone board is full. He's got loads of callers and more than he needs. And then the 8 a.m., unfortunately, is not a free topic choice. It's usually Michael gives the main topic, and there are less callers, but 14 callers today. And I think Lillian Kerr was on the air with him today, and they were talking about women's issues. They had a lot of callers, 14, which is quite a bit. However, those workers, I'm sure they would like to have and discuss something. I'm sure we are pleasing those workers who cannot call in during the weekday, who only want to hear music. But I'm sure some of them, and maybe more, would like to call in and talk about any topic they like. So that's what I was thinking. We really need a programming committee to discuss these things and to do make a programming survey. We haven't done a survey in many years. I think the last one was 2011 or 12. We did a programming committee survey that went to everybody. So it's been a long time. And then this, if a programmer has an audio port count, then they can go on audio port, the Pacifica audio port, and look at and listen to all the shows that have been downloaded from not only the 5 stations, but the 240 affiliate stations, and we share content. So we got rid of Code Pink, which I think we could reconsider, because we have a lot of repeat shows of just, you know, same shows on both on HD1 and HD2, just repeating music shows. Instead, we could add, there's another show that we got rid of, Gray Zone. And Max Blumenthal has many viewers on his YouTube when he does the something or his podcast. I mean, I think he's got over 1 million. I mean, why can't we have Max Blumenthal or Chris Hedges?
Yeah.
Could we invite Jeffrey Sachs? Man, oh, I'm talking over time. Sorry.
You're good. I have a question. The person that's Mama Mala, is it? You're Melissa?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so you're on the board, and so...
Oh, I'm not supposed to... I'm sorry.
Yeah, so, yeah, you're not really supposed to contribute to this conversation, unfortunately. That's just the way the bylaws were written. So... Not seeing anyone else wanting to get on at the moment. Nancy, you've got
I want
another 5 minutes if you'd like.
Standing rules. I hope y'all all got them. I got them as soon as I was elected to the board. That was in 2009. And they've changed a little bit. I mean, we used to have a standing rule that board members, listener board members, cannot speak to a programmer. And I'm not sure if we ever really got the agreement to change that, because, you know, we would have to mail the program director, and the program director would make the decision whether to relay the message to the programmers. And it was really kind of weird, you know, like really infringement on the First Amendment right to speak. And no radio station and no board has a right to infringe upon the First Amendment right. Then if you do that, you're committing a federal crime. That's what you're doing. I mean, really. It says standing rules, every board member must have at least one committee. So please, please, you board members who are not in any committee, please think about joining the outreach, development and outreach committee, or the governance committee, or the personnel committee, which is called management selection and review. And they do evaluations of the manager or the program director. And then what other committee? Building is not really a committee, but I mean, I'm sure everyone's welcome to help in that way. Mm. But we really need a programming committee, and you LSD have the right. Look in Article 7. You will see, I forgot the section, sorry. It's either Section 9 or Section 10, where advisory committees may be made, and you just need at least two board members, and the rest is open to the membership of the station. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we really need a programming committee. We haven't had one since February 2012. I was in that committee, and that was the last time we met because of a decision of a previous board to end the programming council, it was called, by 2012 February. And from that time, it's just been, you know, there's no, it's not a good reason. There's no good reason I can think of not to welcome the station members into a committee to, you know, they are the stockholders. They are the ones that are keeping the money into the bank for the station to continue. Mm-hmm. So we should have their input on programming. Plus, we need to loosen up the programming. If we do what we should have done a long time ago when Amy did, took her show from the radio to television plus mm-hmm. radio, we would have young people coming immediately. Mm-hmm. They want to. We have programmers who want to do visual. We need to do that, otherwise we're going to die. Because young people in the universities, they're not interested in radio at all. They're interested in television or visual. Now, television has corroded, you know, it's just so full of commercials. And we could have visual at the same time, so we can add captions on the visual. So we would get more of an international audience. We could have captions in different languages. I mean, we can do this. And if you tell young people you've got visual, you can bring in and put your film, edited film versions of whatever, they'll come. Oh, yes, they want visual. So we'll be connecting the older generation with the box radio and the – did I go over time again? Okay.
I think we could – thanks, Nancy. Tom, Mr. Harper?
I just wanted to point out, Chair, I'm not trying to be rude, but 5 minutes are, you know, a little bit, you know, too short, you know. And we do have people that go over for 5 minutes, so I'm just pointing that out, sir.
Thank you. So we're at 8:29 right now. We take 30 more seconds of discussion. Nancy, you have 30 more seconds of, or are
yes,
you good for today?
Oh, good. I think we should understand there's a long history in KPFT of getting new members on the fund drive, but not being able to keep them. So last month, the membership was 2,727, and Sandy just announced it was now 2,714. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but the figures are always changing, but this is not growing the way it should. And we cannot keep taking from the same well. Give money, give money, give money. We're getting a lot of new people. Last year, more people moved out of California. And the year before that, more people left New York. And guess what? I think a whole bunch of them came to Texas because Texas is the fastest growing state. And Houston is one of the fastest growing cities. But we're not going to be able to keep them if we're just looking for people with gray hair. We've got to go to the colleges and campuses, give them something that they want,
Okay. They want. Thanks. Business. Thanks, Nancy. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Appreciate your comments. And that concludes for today our public comment section, which was item 10. We've already done our item 11 on the agenda. Item 12 would be unfinished business. To the best of my knowledge, we have no unfinished business, unless somebody has something that they would care to bring up. Not seeing anything. Debbie, you had some?
Yeah. What kind of donations come in on the, you know, the stations that play the, what kind of music is that? The Zydeco and all that. What are our, how do we, you know, we do some programs for younger people. Is there any way we can tell what the listeners are during those times? I mean, or donations?
Programs. You mean programs?
Yeah, the programs. Yeah. Is there any way we can tell, how many donations we get with those programs? I mean, somebody's got to be listening to it. I mean,
that's more of a Sandy question. I haven't seen a breakdown by, of listeners by show. Sandy? Yeah.
Thank you, Ron. Yeah. We do have a breakdown by listeners, not listeners, but donations by show. We keep close tabs on that. Robin organizes that. She's constantly emailing programmers to the throughout the drive, giving them those that have donated so that they can thank them on air. A lot of donations don't necessarily come in on the show, but during the course of the week or at other times, or, you know, other shows even. You'll see a donation for Nuri on Wednesday, for instance, right?
Right.
So yeah, we have all that data, but we don't have a demographic breakdown on that.
So I mean, if those programs are still on, that means those are more youngish people. I mean, you know,
there's no way to really put a
number
on that. I don't think so.
Because we do have programs that I've caught from time to time for that generation that, you know, they're talking about. It seems like to me.
Beats and Buzz comes to mind. That's with Skyla Dawn.
Right.
And anybody listening to that knows that she's playing contemporary artists such that my 7-year-old granddaughter recognizes some of the music.
Right. So. And that's what I was thinking. Cause like I said, I've caught them from time to time and I'm like, that's some of the music's not what I would listen to, but
Chair, order of the day. Order of the day. This is not unfinished business.
Well, it was just a question.
Mr. Chair, could I be recognized?
Yes.
I believe that Michael Woodson is on the call. If he would like to say that he's present, I will list him as present. Maybe he's gone, but I saw
Michael,
him earlier.
He's
muted. He's muted.
Robert Gartner is also.
I'm here. It's Michael Woodson. I'm here. Thanks.
Thank you, Michael.
How about Robert? Did you hear from Robert?
I have him down already. He said he said something earlier. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Good. There being no other unfinished business, we go on to new business. Is there any new business for this board?
Robert Gardner is here, just so you know. Thank you.
Thanks, Robert. She's got you. Hearing no new business. Item 14 is to confirm that the next LSV meeting, being the second Wednesday of the month would be April 9th, 2025 at 7 p.m., just like this one. Can I get your approval for having that date? Is that good?
Good.
No objections? Okay. No objections. That date is confirmed. That being the conclusion of this business, then I would move to adjourn the meeting. Can I get a second?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Thank you. I heard from both Stuart and Rob, so Teresa can take her pick out of there. And that would be at 8:35 p.m. Thank you, everybody, for attending.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you good for contributing.
Thank you. Okay.
Good night. Thanks. All right. Thank Have you. A good evening.
Bye.
All right.